FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is July 6th, 2016. And, well, yesterday was July 5th, or better known as Hillary Clinton's Get Out of Jail Free Day, compliments of the FBI and Director Comey. And with us is Josh Bernstein, a.k.a. the Political Savant. And Josh, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Hey, so you think that Donald Trump pretty much is guaranteed victory this November if he follows five easy steps? And, well, perhaps you're correct. What do you think those five steps are?
Well, I think that looking at how he has gotten to where he is right now, he is without a doubt an unconventional candidate, to say the least, running in an unconventional race at this point. And I think if you look at that and you put that into the right scope, then you can clearly see that it is now time to do something very more unconventional. First thing he needs to do is he needs to pick a very conservative vice president. We cannot have an establishment Rhino Republican. We need to have someone very, very conservative. Personally, I would like to see Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, a Jeff Sessions, possibly even a Judge Jeanine Pirro. I mean, we're talking someone that's outspoken, that's ferocious, that can be the attack dog and actually convict Hillary Clinton in the court of public opinion. That would be the first thing. Then the next thing he needs to do is do something that no one's really ever done before, and actually not only pick the conservative VP, but then name three or four people on his cabinet and give them specific tasks. So, for instance, maybe Sarah Palin would be the Secretary of Energy, and she would be, her main goal would be to figure out how to get us energy independent. Dr. Ben Carson would be the Surgeon General. Maybe he would figure out how to increase our you know, overall health and therefore get rid of Obamacare and replace it with something that's much better. Maybe Chris Christie as the Attorney General, and let him go to town on Hillary Clinton after the fact because of the statute of limitations. He needs to run as a complete team, the Make America Great Again team. That would be the one thing that I would absolutely say he needs to do. The next thing I think he needs to do is he needs to turn the convention that's coming up. He wants to bring in sports figures and professional athletes to talk because he thinks because they're winners and champions that somehow that's going to be the best anecdote. I disagree. I think he ought to turn the convention, into a Lifetime Channel type convention. I'm talking 4 or 5 to 1 female speakers over male speakers. The media has painted him as a racist, as a misogynist, sexist, what have you. And I think that if he had, a ton of different women, maybe preferably folks that came up through the Trump organization that were able to speak about their boss and what it's like to work with him and so on and so forth, I think that that would certainly soften that image that the media has portrayed him to have. The other thing that I would do is I would tell more personal stories. You know, one of the things that Ronald Reagan was so good at was being able to tell personal stories. He was self-deprecating. He would poke fun at himself at times. But you have to understand, Donald Trump has created and built some of the most magnificent structures in the entire world. And many of those structures are right now still standing here in America. And each one has its own unique history and story. So if I was him, I would start talking about some of the things that he did and some of the things that he built, because the media has, typecasted him, if you will, as a corporate raider, as a billionaire with no heart. And that's not the case. There's obviously a lot of these different buildings, I'm sure, that he could talk about, how he got the permits, what challenges, came in front of him, how he got them done under budget and on time, and all these different things. And he can tell the personal stories behind the scenes that only he would know. And then, you know, another thing that that I would tell him would be to hire myself as a campaign consultant, because there's no question that I know the electorate. I know how they think. I know how they react to certain things. And I'm pretty confident that if I was part of this campaign moving forward, that he would be in a much better position overall.
Well, I actually know the Donald in my past life as an attorney, handled a couple of minor matters for him, hung out with him for a few hours. So the real Donald is not obviously the one portrayed by a very biased and agenda-driven media. As far as picking a Sarah Palin, as much as I like the lady in some regards, not one of the higher thinkers of the political spectrum, but is a doer. I think she probably has a little too much baggage, and it's not of the Versace variety. But what about a Newt Gingrich? I mean, the guy has got a proven track record. He's definitely a thinker. He knows how to get stuff done. Maybe a little too old, but very articulate, and can get the message out there. What's your feelings about him?
Well, I mean, I like Newt for certain reasons. There's certain drawbacks on Newt Gingrich. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He was a supporter of NAFTA. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, I mean, he's had the three marriages, and I can see the attack ads right now from the left. You know, Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich, six marriages between them. I can already see those attack ads happening.
Well,
but the flip
the Clintons,
yeah, the
one marriage.
Yeah, they're no Ozzy and Harry.
2000, yeah, Bill Clinton lovers.
I get what you're saying, and I think that it would be a moot point, and it would be a net positive for the campaign overall. And here's the thing that I like about Newt Gingrich. He's about the only person that could go up there, and when Bill Clinton tells the lie, and let's call it that, the lie that he saved the economy, that he created a surplus, and that he balanced the budget, he can say, "Sorry, Bill, but you're not telling the truth. It was me and the 1994 House Republican Revolution and the contract with America that forced you to sign welfare reform, forced you into the middle, forced you to sign, spending cuts and tax cuts and this and that." So in that respect, he's the only person that would be able to do that. He's tough with the media, obviously, so you'd have that aspect. He's a historical scholar. He's very smart. He's not someone that's going to get tripped up by the media. So, yeah, there are a lot of positives there. But after this last decision, honestly, I was thinking before the FBI let Hillary Clinton off the hook, I was thinking the best, most safest person to be picked for the spot was going to be Senator Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because he's ranked the fifth most conservative senator. He's a Southerner. He's from Alabama. He's got a nice, you know, disposition about him. He's kind of calm. He's kind of the opposite in a way to Trump. Yeah. But he's also one of those do no harm type of candidates, in my opinion.
Here's the thing, though. My opinion, nobody ever got elected president because of their pick for vice president, except for John Kennedy. And that's because of the corrupt nature of LBJ and Texas politics and ballot box stuffing. So unless Trump wants somebody to help him steal the election, his VP pick is not going to get him over the finish line, per se. So
But that guy would have the bona fides to get the Never Trumpers, Cruz folks, solidify.
Those people don't really exist. I think they're a media construct. I think they're an elitist GOP construct. In the final analysis, I don't think they exist. If they do exist, they are elitist uniparty people who are never going to vote for Trump anyway. So can't spend too much time thinking about them. But let's talk about the media, and let's talk about Trump is where he is now because of the media, but not because he's ever going to get them on his side, but because he bypassed them and he confronted them directly. He took them on like no other candidate has ever done. And look, a year ago when, you know, I think it was June 17th, 2015, he rode the escalator in Trump Tower down, place I know quite well, being a New Yorker, former New Yorker, proudly, now live in the Sunshine State. And he was ridiculed and roundly pilloried by the media. And yet, against all odds, he is now the nominee. He took out Jeb Bush like he was nobody. He took out Scott Walker, who was the insurgent favorite. And then the other band of thieves were gone in the wink of an eye. None of them had a chance against him. So he is right where he is because he's Trump. And for the very things that may be perceived as weaknesses, because the traditional media had a full court press. And then let's not forget about the GOP establishment, the elite. They spent more money attacking him and more time and energy than they ever spent against Obama. And the
guy was
standing. Okay, so, you know, the conventional punditry might say that he is an underdog, and perhaps to some extent he is, but look who he's running against here. First candidate ever running while under active FBI investigation. While she might have been cleared of criminally, she certainly wasn't cleared in the conventional sense. And if she was anyone else,
right,
everybody in the country knows she would have been prosecuted here. And she's running for a third Obama term. And yeah, the elites are doing great. You know, inside the Beltway guys, consultants, the 1% are doing better than ever. But the rest of the country knows they aren't doing well here. And, you know, there's serious problems around the world. We got a crumbling economy. And the more people see this woman, the more they don't like her, kind of like Ted Cruz. So is he really the underdog? The polls, the ones that seem to be a little bit more methodical and honest, that actually interview voters, likely voters, rather than just registered voters,
right,
don't
big difference,
seem to give her that big an advantage, if any at all. And let's face it, the real election barely gotten started here.
Well, I think going back to the VP real quick, I think that if after this decision of, let's face it, the Republicans and Trey Gowdy not being able to hold her accountable on Benghazi and the four deaths in Benghazi, now
by
we
design
have James
by
Comey.
By
of
design.
Course, of course. Now we have James Comey doing the same thing with the FBI, not holding her accountable. She needs to be convicted. And the only way she's going to be convicted in the court of public opinion is with a ferocious attack dog, someone like a Judge Jeanine Pirro. I think that she actually would be a very interesting and good pick for Donald Trump because of the fact that she would viciously go after the Clintons on public television, just like Donald Trump does. She does it all the time. She's smart. She's passionate. She's articulate. Not going to mess up either. And I think that she could really, really do a lot of damage to the Clintons by exposing them and convicting them in the court of public opinion.
I need to tell you a little story about Judge Jeanine, okay? Because I'm from Westchester County. She was the Westchester County DA. She was married to Al Pirro, who was the Westchester County fixer. I mean, not to dig up all her old skeletons. I like her, and she's got a great media presence and articulate, but did kind of a rotten job as Westchester DA. She just is not VP material. Definitely a spot in the administration, in the Trump administration, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we got to stick. I think a female VP would be great, but somebody with a lot of substance, a lot of accomplishment under her belt.
Yeah, I don't see Joni Ernst being that person.
She had a good commercial killing pigs. And, you know, I think the analogy is great. And
cutting their,
you know, I think it'd be a great addition there. But and you and I see it, but for the average American folk, probably.
Yeah, and that's why I keep leaning back towards an Alan West or a Jeff Sessions.
Alan, I'm in his old congressional district, and all of my buddies at Starbucks in the morning, you know, really don't like the guy because he's just comes on a little too heavy for kind of center right leaning people. You know, I like him a lot, man. I think
I do too. I love him. I've interviewed him on my show, and he's fantastic.
I love him.
But if you're looking for someone that would be, you know, that that yin and yang, it may be Jeff Sessions. I think Jeff Sessions would be the safest, as I've said before, the safest possible pick with all the conservative bona fides still there, but does it in a non-threatening way.
I think you're right. I think you're probably correct there. There's probably a couple of other guys out there, but Sessions could be the guy. We don't need another attack dog. We got Trump. Right? Usually your VP is your attack dog.
Here's the thing. We need to make sure that Hillary is convicted in the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. We cannot allow this. We can't allow to be above the fray or play nice. If we put it in a football analogy, if we're playing prevent defense and she's dinking and dunking down the field, eventually she's going to score a touchdown, and that's the presidency. So we need to be blitzing on first, second, and third down, attacking her viciously all the time. And I said this a year and a half ago, whoever attacks Hillary Clinton the most, not the least, the most, has the best chance of beating her. You got to take it directly to her, truly.
The Donald has done it every step of the way, and that's the beauty, because you know that Jeb would have never done it. You know, he would have never attacked her. Never. And he would
never
have lost.
In a million years.
Cruz would have done it, maybe. We don't know that for sure, because couldn't trust him. Couldn't trust him. Could not trust Cruz. That's a problem. He was not a trustworthy guy. But yeah, Donald's doing it. He's going to keep doing it. So we're left. I think Rudy Giuliani could have been a great VP pick. He's mellowed out, but he could make the argument for sure. I just don't know of any females out there who really got what
Marsha
it takes.
Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah. Think?
Marsha Blackburn, I think she would be an interesting pick, too.
Yeah.
Congressman of Tennessee. She's very smart.
Sure.
She's very articulate. She's very passionate. She's excellent in front of the camera. She's got a ton of experience. She's been the head of lots of different committees, chairman of this committee and that committee. So she would also be someone that could navigate through Washington. She knows all the different facets, if you will, of the House. As a matter of fact, I pushed for her instead of Paul Ryan to be the House Speaker when
Well, hopefully we'll be rid of Ryan shortly, because that guy, he's got
his
agenda.
I call him Paul Ryanoceros. That's what I call him.
Yeah, well, he's definitely some type of reptilian creature from the Dark Lagoon. He isn't on our side, that's for sure. So Chris Christie, I just don't see him as the right fit.
Adds nothing to the ticket.
He isn't going to get New Jersey. Trump would get New Jersey before Christie's getting it. And Trump's got a good shot at Jersey, I think. And he's got a shot at New York and Connecticut. So states that would never.
Yeah. And, that brings up an interesting point, because this cannot be your normal, typical election in which, there's seven or eight states at play and that's it. Donald Trump literally has to compete in all of Obama's 57 states.
Yeah.
Literally. He has got to do that.
You missed a state, because I thought he was going to one other state. I thought there were 58.
Maybe. Who knows?
But seriously, he
needs to be able to compete in areas that Republicans don't even walk into.
Yeah.
He's got to compete in Michigan, New Jersey, California. And if he's making the Democrats spend money to defend areas like New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, then this is a whole different ballgame. Because if he does lose a swing state, but he can pick up one of those other major blue states with more electoral
votes, Pennsylvania.
Expands the map considerably.
If he gets Pennsylvania and Michigan, I think it's kind of going to be over. And he's got a great shot because of the trade and coal. It puts him ahead in states where he would otherwise not have a shot. And, the whole Hillary thing, there's a lot more to come here. A lot more stuff that's going to come out. Somebody once said, it ain't over till it's over. And certainly it's not over here. And she's a horrible candidate, She didn't win in 08. I always said if she was going to be president, she would have been president. She's not president, and I don't believe she's going to be. And we got health issues.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Hey, we also got some health issues here, which haven't come out. And the beauty.
I agree with that.
the beauty of Trump is, hey, everything is fair game, because he doesn't mm-hmm. play by anybody else's rules. And
right.
and they don't know what, you know, they've said it. You've seen these Democratic talking heads come out here and say he's the most dangerous candidate because we don't know, Josh, what he's going to do. So so Josh, hey, we want to find out more about you. You've got somebody, group you want to tell us about here?
Yes. I'm a proud spokesman for an amazing group. They are called AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, www.amac.us. What we are is that conservative alternative to AARP. And we are an organization for folks 50 years of age or older, for seniors. We have all the same types of products and services that an AARP would have. The only difference is we are limited government, liberty-based, and when we do lobby on behalf of Congress, it is to put more power and control into seniors' lives and into their own healthcare decisions than they would normally have. And right now, we're working on bipartisan legislation to get a cost of living adjustment for seniors. We are working with different members of Congress to get that passed. I mean, the federal government got a 1.3% federal income increase in their pay. Meanwhile, you've got prescription drugs going up. You've got healthcare premiums going up. You've got, supplies going up. Everything is going up. And yet seniors, once again, were got absolutely nothing. They did not get a cost of living adjustment. So we're working on that as well. We're also working on getting an increase in veteran benefit pay and things like that. So check us out. It is www.amac.us, www.amac.us, or call toll free 888-262-2006. 888-262-2006. Tell them that you heard Josh Bernstein talking about them, and we'll even give you a free membership to try us out. That's right. Mention Josh Bernstein, and we'll even give you a free membership, amac.us.
Hey, so Josh, that's a really great organization. I have great misgivings about AARP. They helped push through Obamacare, so right away that should make you wary of them. The funny thing is, before Obamacare, one of their primary revenue drivers was selling health care coverage. I looked on their website because I was looking to buy some health insurance, and I don't see where it's on there. If somebody knows different, please send me an email at kl@kerrylutz.com, because I'd love to know. I switched over recently to healthcare cost sharing with Liberty Health Share. You can find them at joinlhs.com. Cost me $200 a month, Josh, and covered up to $1 million per incident. I just had some surgery done, had drooping eyelids, so I get to look 10 years younger, but I really did need it, not just vanity. And they covered just about everything. They didn't put me through the mill. JoinLHS.com. So, yeah, AARP used to join them to get discounted health care coverage and Medigap and all that. I don't even see it on there anymore. If you're
right.
Like, if you're not on Medicare, it's useless to you. So they cut off their own nose.
Well, they're a very political organization.
Yeah, totally.
They're very, very liberal. They've given lots of money to this to support the Unaffordable Careless Act, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
They spent $2.8 billion lobbying for its passage and mm-hmm. then turned around and exempt their members from it.
Isn't that
so
right?
We don't do anything like that. We've got 1.3 million members. We're growing each and every day. We are a limited government, liberty-based organization. We are that true conservative organization that is the opposite of AARP. So if you want to add more to liberty and more to freedom, please go to amac.us. Check us out. Say Josh Bernstein was talking about it on Kerry Lutz Show, and we'll even give you a free membership.
Hey, well, Josh, if we want to find your show, find out more about you, where's the best place to go?
Well, you can go to my website, which is joshbernsteinpoliticalwriter.com. But the best place to find me is certainly on YouTube. Just go to YouTube or even Google for that matter and just put Josh Bernstein Television Show, and you'll find hundreds upon hundreds of my videos and my program, because I do a weekly television show.
All right. Excellent. So just check out Josh, and you'll find a link in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for a free weekly newsletter. here. I've been off for the past couple of weeks, but we're getting back with a vengeance. Josh, been a total pleasure. And hey, I have a feeling that come November 8th, late that evening, we will both be happy and we will be celebrating President Donald J. Trump.
Well, I hope you're absolutely correct on that. And, you know, one of the things Donald Trump needs to do is he needs to spend millions of dollars towards voter fraud prevention. That's for sure. That would be another tip I'd give the campaign. But any topic, anytime, it was a pleasure being with you as well.
Likewise. And good luck to you. Be well.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.